precious treasures bring Christ to thee, our heavenly King.
The text before us is a portion of the Epiphany Gospel that is taken from the second chapter of St. Matthew. We begin reading with verse 9. Regarding the wise men, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If I had $1 million, if you had $1 million, would you buy me a monkey? I've always wanted to have a monkey. We all like to speculate, don't we? What would I do if I had $1 million? Just think of the things that I could do and the stuff that I could get. Just think, as a Christian, what I could do with $1 million for the church, for mission work. Just think of all the good that I could help do for the kingdom of God. If I had $1 million, man, what kind of gift would I give? Where would I give it? What special mission project, what special church could I help to build? What school could I help to support? If God gave me $1 million. I remember hearing an elderly Christian man in a conversation that was going on like that once out in a church lobby. He said to somebody, "You know, if God wanted to find out what you'd do with $1 million, he would have given it to you already. But he wants to know what you're going to do with the money he has given you." That was pretty perceptive. We like to think of ourselves as generous, and maybe in the eyes of many we are at times. But when we really think of it on a spiritual level and before God and consider the blessings that God has given us and continues to give us, and then look at how, at least I know knowing my own heart, how tight-fisted I can be holding on to the things that I have and how greedy I can be about wanting more. We must admit that the things of this world and the treasures of this life can oftentimes be much more important to us than the things of heaven and than our Savior. And even when we give our gift to God in whatever way that might be, we can be kind of like George Costanza leaving a gift for the waitress. You just want to hold on to the bill a little bit longer. In the text before us, we see offerings and gifts that are brought to the Christ child. The wise men come and fall down and worship him, we're told, and they open their treasures before him. We must admit for ourselves that oftentimes, even though we can be chasing heaven as our treasure, that we're also tempted to still look at the things of this life as our treasure. But Jesus warns us in our spiritual lives, you cannot serve both. One cannot serve two masters, he says. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. It's kind of like horses that are riding in completely opposite directions. You just can't ride them both. Even though we can be often tempted to think that we can ride them both. Listen again to this, to the gifts that are brought by the wise men to the Christ child. When they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, notice it wasn't their leftovers. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are not the leftover elements that you would find in someone's life and in their possession and estate. This is the top gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isn't it interesting that God includes this story for a variety of reasons in our text, or in the text of Scripture? These are the first Gentile Christians, in a sense, that God shines the light on them coming to worship the Christ child, and they're under no obligation to bring a gift. They're under no ceremonial law that's binding them. God hasn't demanded this of them. There's nothing like that. They just come and freely give the gift. And there's been nothing set or mandated as to how big the gift should be or how much should be involved and so on, what portion there should be. They just come and freely give this gift. And this is what I think is impressive for us today. God the Holy Spirit could easily have left that little aspect out. There were probably a lot of other presents brought to Christ at his birth and so on, maybe little gifts in here and there. But God the Holy Spirit made sure that this was recorded for us in the words of Holy Scripture. Because there's a lesson for us to learn as well in this marvelous Christmas season that we are still in. The gifts that the Lord loves to receive from his faithful, from those who have been drawn to the side of the Christ child to see his great importance in their lives, the gifts that God loves to see are the ones that have just come freely, that weren't forced or coerced or commanded or demanded or even expected, the ones that just come freely pouring out of his faithful. A number of years ago, I was serving a congregation right here in Mankato, and a Bethany College student at the time had apparently been coming and worshiping frequently at that congregation. And about a month after school was out, so middle of June or so, I suddenly got a letter at my office on my desk, and I opened it up, and here inside was a check for, if I remember, $150. $150 from this student. And he had a note in there, and he said, "I used to feel so bad that every Sunday the plate would go by me when I was worshiping at your church. I didn't feel that I had enough to give at the time, but I just got my new job," and this was only, like I said, about a month later, "and I wanted to send this gift to show my appreciation for Word and Sacrament at your church." That was pretty neat. Totally unexpected. Sometimes we maybe think, and I thought the same way too, that when we're in college that, maybe that isn't a part of our spiritual lives we need to necessarily be concerned about. When I start getting gray hair, then I'm going to start giving. When I really make the big bucks someday, when I have my job and my regular steady income, well, then I can start giving to the Lord. Well, God also wants to see those gifts come freely even now from the hearts of his faithful. As a great old Lutheran dogmatician, Johann Gerhard, used to say, "Don't just wait to give God the gift of your old age. Give him even now the flower of your youth." When I was a little boy, my parents would give me an allowance now and then. And I would often take money from that allowance and buy them a Christmas present. And my mom and dad were always happy to open up that Christmas present, as silly as it might be. I don't think my mom always appreciated a tennis racket. But anyway, that gift was coming from a heart of love, even though the very thing that was used to purchase the gift already belonged to them. But it still made them happy to get that gift. That's how it is with God. Think about it. Everything you have right now, even the clothes you're wearing here, they belong to him. If he wanted to take it away from you, he could do it just like that. Just think how easy God could just remove all of our possessions and wealth from us. But in his kindness and goodness toward us, in his divine providence, he lets us enjoy not just the necessities. Yeah, we've got those, but we've got wealth. We have riches. Think of the stuff that we can do with our money in our lives. It's amazing. Just in the entertainment realm. Think of how much money just in this room in the past week has probably been spent on entertaining ourselves. And that isn't necessarily wrong. But think of the wealth that we have been blessed with. God loves to see when his faithful take the very allowance that he's given us in this life, and just because of love for Christ and because of what he's done for us and what that means for us, that we come back and bring our gifts and offerings back to him. And God isn't concerned about the size of the gift. We've each got different proportions in our lives. Man is real impressed with the dollar amount, but man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God just cares about, why are you giving? Why are you bringing this offering? And he wants it to be out of gratitude for his marvelous grace toward us in Christ. Let me close with a little illustration. Imagine a teenage boy who lives next door to an elderly man. And this elderly man has a humble house. And this elderly man often loans the boy tools to work on his car and things like that. And one day the elderly neighbor says to this young boy, "You know, I really like you, and I've decided to include you in my estate. You're going to get a few of my things." And the boy's thinking, "Oh, great, I might get his tool set, and I might get this, and so on." And so he thinks, "You know, to show gratitude to this guy before he dies, I should shovel his walk for him now and then, maybe mow his yard once in a while, and so on." So he begins doing a few things for the man. Well, the man does finally die. And the will is finally read off. And here he discovers, this young boy discovers, that he didn't just inherit the tool set. This man had a beautiful cabin at the lake, gorgeous cabin, that had been willed entirely to him. And he drives up there to see this beautiful new estate that he now gets to inherit and have as his own. And he has a completely different perspective on his gratitude. When you and I, by God's grace, because of what this Christ child has come together to give us, when we get to walk into the doors of heaven someday and to see what splendor and what amazing riches and treasures we have purely because of the love of God for us, not by anything we deserve, are we going to have a different perspective on how we thank God even now? Let us bring this newborn king the greatest treasure, and that is our hearts and our devotion for his marvelous grace. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Please rise and join with me in the Epiphany Collect. You'll find it on page 149, page 149, collect number 19. And we pray, Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us the light of your holy word, the guiding star that leads us to the Christ child. Send, we beseech you, your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive this light and make use of it for our salvation, and that we, like the wise men, when they were seeking the star, may not be afraid because of any hardship or peril, but put all our trust in your only begotten Son as our only Savior, devote our earthly possessions to the advancement of your kingdom, and in all things serve him, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.